Welcome to the podcast. Today, we start off with a big accusation against one of the media's darlings, Ronan Farrow. Was he lying about some of the stuff going on in his book about the accusations against Matt Lauer and others? The journalism does not look too promising here, and we go into that with John Ziegler. Jason Buttrell previews tonight's TV show where we're talking about Biden and Ukraine and the latest audio tape that you have to hear of Biden going through a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about for a long time in Ukraine. We have an Oregon salon owner fined $14,000 for staying open despite the stay-at-home orders. Talk to her. Stephen Moore, the economist, worked with Trump on his economic plans. He has a new movement he's starting here to try to get the economy going again. And a new development with a parallel universe that you, no big deal, just a throw-in story towards the end of the show. We'll get into that as well. Make sure to go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn. Get $10 off a subscription to Blaze TV. You can get Glenn's show tonight. Also, Stu Does America every night at 8 p.m. Eastern. By the way, you can also get those shows on YouTube tonight. They're back-to-back. Go to YouTube, search for Stu, and I'll be the first one there for my show. And you can watch Glenn's show live on YouTube as well tonight. And subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. These are the things we ask you to do because, you know, they make us feel better about ourselves. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Well, now we have a man named John Ziegler on with us to speak to us about what's happening in the media and Ronan Farrow. And we take you to Ronan Farrow and the media via Matt Lauer. John, welcome to the program.
Glenn, good to talk to you.
How are you?
You sound well, so serious. You know. Well, you know, talk to me. You said that I have a love-hate relationship with America. I just wish I could find out where the love was. I mean, that's the part that
you get lots of love from us, John. You get lots of love from us. I think there's a lot of people that look at what you write and appreciate. Unfortunately, we're not in a time that is appreciating that appreciates people who tell the truth as it is. Some people do it, and they're pilloried for it, but they keep doing it. And in the end, they will be remembered as icons of this time.
Well, I'll tell my wife that. I'm sure that'll make her feel much better.
Yeah, I know. Eat all those icons you can get. So John, you called me, I don't even remember what it was, 6 months ago or so, and I was driving down the highway in California, and you called me, and you said, I just had a call from Matt Lauer. And I said, shut up. And you said, yeah. And he invited me to his house, and I went. Can you tell the story of how this happened and what it was like? Because I read your column yesterday, and I read it again this morning. It's an amazing tale.
Yeah, there's so many different aspects to this story. I think for your listeners, there's the backstory, which I'm definitely a huge part of. I'm sure we're going to get to the biggest part of the story, which is that Ronan Farrow is a fraud and that the media is completely broken, especially on this issue of sex abuse allegations. But just as a little bit of backdrop, I had appeared on the Today Show three times when Matt Lauer was the host in three very contentious interviews. He did me no favors. We were not buddies. But he respected my work, and he knew I was someone who would tell the truth regardless of what the ramifications were for me. That's kind of been my reputation. I'll actually defend people I don't even like if I think that they've been wrongly accused. And I think my track record on this is pretty outstanding. And so I had kept in touch with one of his producers, and he had contacted that person to get in touch with me. And I went across the country, spent about 5 or 6 hours with him. And you know me well enough to know, Glenn, that when I do this, this is not a softball situation. I'm not actually, when I go into a situation like this, I am trying to prove that the person I'm dealing with or interviewing is actually guilty. So that I don't have to deal with this. I don't want this. Okay. Right. This is not something I'm seeking out. I want to make sure that the person that I'm dealing with is telling me the truth. And anyone who knows me knows I can smoke out a fraud in about 5 seconds. So when I spend spent 5 hours with somebody in their kitchen alone. I got a pretty good sense of it. I already felt like I knew Matt pretty well because we've been in a foxhole against each other 3 times. And then after that, I wrote a column for Mediaite saying, there's a completely different story here. Ronan Farrow has, in my view, blown this, but there's no way for Matt Lauer to tell his story in this modern media environment, especially post-Me Too, where all the rules have completely changed. The media is completely broken. There's not enough scrutiny. There's not enough time. Once the narrative is set, it's over with. Well, I wasn't sure what was going to happen at that point when I spoke to you. I didn't know, you know, whether Matt would end up doing an interview with Oprah or whatever. Matt asked me, he said, look, I have all this information that this book Ronan Farrow wrote is completely false and provably false, and that Ronan Farrow didn't even bother to check with people he references in the book, including 2 ex-boyfriends of the person that Farrow uses to accuse me of rape. Now, think about how insane that is, Glenn, that 2 ex-boyfriends are willing to speak to Matt Lauer, a person who effectively they should have romantic jealousy towards, who can't do anything for them. They're still in the media business. And Matt Lauer is now a pariah, and you know how the media business works. I mean, nobody wants to do anything to threaten their gig. This is the easiest way to threaten your gig in the world, speaking out on behalf of Matt Lauer against Ronan Farrow.
Right.
And these are key people in the book. These are key people that Farrow uses to corroborate this alleged story of what he now calls rape, that he didn't even check with, who tell totally different stories, dude, that not only don't corroborate the accuser's story, but say, no, that didn't happen. Let me tell you what really happened. And so Lauer says to me, hours and hours and hours of conversation, what do I do? Is there a mainstream reporter that I can provide this to that will be fair about this? And I did some research. I talked to some people I thought were possible. I've been through these wars before, and I came back to him. I said, Matt, there's no way. You can't do it. The media is so broken that what will happen is if you give the information that you have accumulated via your own investigation of this, there's not one mainstream reporter at a major outlet that will have the ability and the guts to actually see this through. They will absolutely turn it against you. They will diminish everything you have found because it doesn't do them any good. Because the truth doesn't matter. It's not about the truth. It's about the narrative. It's about making sure you protect your own gig, that you protect your position in the media club. That's what this is. It's a club. And no one wants to go outside the herd because they'll get run over. And the easiest way to get run over is going up against Ronan Farrow. And so I said, Matt, the only way you can do this is if you write this yourself and use your own celebrity, your own journalistic abilities, your own connections to the story to personalize it. And so this was an incredibly long process. I mean, just insane. I can't even, maybe at some other point I'll tell you the full story about all this when we have more time, but the reality is it was months and months, and it was intended to come out way before this, but obviously the coronavirus situation hit, and there was no way you're going to do that in the middle of the pandemic. But then the New York Times came out earlier this week via Ben Smith with, as I think you are accurately described, it was a soft push against Ronan Farrow, saying, hey, look, is Ronan Farrow really as good as he appears to be? Is he too good to be true? And let's just say, Glenn, that wasn't a coincidence that came out when it did and how it did. And this was there was a plan involved in all this.
That's actually good news, though, John. That shows that they are softening the landscape to be able to possibly flip on Ronan Farrow. I mean, it was an amazing story from the New York Times where they were saying, you know, I mean, he's a golden boy, he's great, but maybe he was thrown into the deep end, you know, before he was ready to do journalism, and so he didn't know all of the rules. Oh my gosh. That's your criticism? He's destroying lives? And that's the way you handle it? Oh, wow. Well,
Amen, wow. Glenn. And to me, the headline of there's so many interesting aspects of this, but the headline of this entire affair is Ronan Farrow is a fraud. He's not just a bad journalism. He's a fraud. He is a concoction of the news media. They fell in love with him because of Me Too. Yep. You could argue he got lucky.
They fell in love with him before. They fell in love with him before. I don't know why. The guy won all kinds of journalistic awards before the Me Too movement. He was the darling of the media. Nobody knew who he was. I don't know what happened, but there he was.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Let me switch gears. What they just did with Craig T. Nelson was exactly what Stu said. Scare people into silence. They want to make examples of people. This is Saul Alinsky 101. Make examples of people. Well, the states are doing this all over the country right now. And I want to talk to Lindsey Graham. She is another salon owner who is now being fined $14,000 for reopening despite her stay-at-home orders. She has opened her her salon. Welcome to the program, Lindsey Graham. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me this morning.
All right. So you're in Salem, Oregon, and the question has got to be asked, why, Lindsey? Why are you in Oregon? Why are you in Oregon?
I'm starting to question that myself.
It's such a beautiful state, and it's just gone crazy. All right, so they issued you a citation from OSHA because they illegally deemed your independent contractors, the stylist in the salon, as your employees. Tell me what happened.
Well, the day before I even opened my salon, which was May 4th, I was in there cleaning and I received a visit from OSHA. And he said it was a friendly visit to let me know what would happen if I choose to move forward opening my doors the next day. What he told me was that he would get a warrant to come in and conduct an investigation, and he would cite me $1,000 for violating the mandate. So basically operating a hazardous workplace. And if I didn't comply and shut my doors, he would issue me a $70,000 citation. So I opened my doors regardless, and OSHA did indeed get a warrant, and they conducted an investigation, which I cooperated with. I interviewed with them. I provided documents. And in the end, despite all of my truthful answers about my independent contractors, he decided at the end of the week that those independent contractors were employees, and therefore I was operating a hazardous workplace for my employees, and he cited me $14,000 and gave me 3 days to close my doors.
It's pretty easy to know if these are contractors or employees. I mean, your records would show that.
Yes, there's a very, very definite and clear difference. And like I said, I was very truthful because I knew that they were independent contractors and there was no way they could be deemed employees. So it'll be interesting in court to see how they decided they were employees. They're citing examples like if I have a dress code or if I allow them to use the same scheduling system, then they become employees. Which is ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
To insinuate, yeah, that I can't have rules in my salon for my independent contractors. And if I do, the state can decide that they're employees, which changes my entire business structure. So this is alarming for salons around the United States that they're going to try to do this.
So Lindsey, why are they doing this to you? Do you think what's happening?
I'm positive that they're using every possible government organization to try to bully and intimidate me into shutting my doors. They have used OSHA, Health Licensing Office, CPS, Child Protective Services, if you can believe it. They've used the city of Salem to threaten me.
How? Wait. How were they using CPS?
So I opened my doors to my salon on May 5th, and on May 8th, Child Protective Services showed up at my home when I was at work to question my home about a, quote, claim that my household was endangering my children.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Lindsay, how are you so calm about this?
I'm not. I'm livid, and I've already cried and bawled and screamed, and I have no words for the tactics that the government's using against me, but I've had time to kind of to adjust my thinking and come up with a plan of attack, or defense even, if you will. I'm not calm, but I have a really great team of attorneys, and we are going to tackle this head on because it's very, very clear that there is bullying and intimidation by the government directed at me and my family and my business.
You come after my business, that's one thing. You come after my family, oh my gosh, yeah. I would lose my mind. I'd lose my mind. So this is, you think this is being coordinated from the governor's office?
I do, yes, I really do. There's been some things that have come to light that can back that theory up very prominently. And so we are confident that there are higher ups that are conducting these, pulling these strings directed at me.
Can you tell us any of those things that have come up?
I don't believe I can. My attorney found them yesterday, and but I think eventually they will come to light, and they'll come to light in court. But we are shocked at some of the things that we're finding out that have been done. So. I would encourage America to stay tuned. It's going to be interesting.
Why did you open up in the first place? Why don't you just go along to get along? Why don't you just do that?
I would have loved to have done that, but I also would have loved to have kept my home and kept my businesses and kept, you know, the life that I've worked 15 years for. My husband and I own 6 businesses, and I actually took 4 weeks off for maternity leave before the quarantine. And so we had not budgeted for a government shutdown. No one has budgeted for a government shutdown. And at the 4 week mark, I said, listen, we're going to lose these businesses. We're choosing to pay our mortgage instead of the leases on these. The government hasn't come through with their loans and their grants and their unemployment money that we don't want anyway. We want to work and we want to run our businesses the good old fashioned American way. We're hard workers. And at 4 weeks, I said, we can't survive this if I don't go back to work. And we make most of our income for me being a hairstylist and taking clients and having my salon open. And honestly, I wanted my stylists that work there to be able to come in and run their business and do their clients. So I said, ladies, I'm doing this. And if you want to join me, let's make a living because, you know, we're all going to lose everything we've worked for if we don't. And so that was the decision I made. And I actually didn't mean for it to go public. I shared a story about it in a Facebook group, and I didn't realize it was a public group, and it started getting shared. So I went, well, this is making the news now, so I guess I have to do it.
Right.
But I have no regrets.
Do you think, is the town supportive of you at all?
I'm really disappointed in Oregonians. They are less supportive of me than the entire nation is. When this went local, I had to endure quite a bit of verbal and keyboard abuse.
You got to get out of there. You got to get out of there. Sincerely, you got to come to Texas. Yeah. Our governor, in Dallas, they put a salon owner in jail, and our governor went nuts, and she's out of jail, and we're not arresting anybody anymore. I mean, that's what you need. This governor is, your whole state's out of control.
Right. All we're asking for is a little support. I don't understand how that's a controversial or political issue to be able to earn your living. So I'm very confused why this is such an uproar that I needed to work and provide for my family. It's very interesting to watch, but it's I'm very thankful the nation has rallied behind me. I'm getting positive, encouraging messages and prayers from all over America, and I am brought to tears most days from the support. So. Very thankful for that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Lindsay, thank you so much for talking to us. We're going to follow your story. When you please stay in touch with us. Our producers will stay in touch with you, but we want to know what's going on. And if there's any way we can help you, we will absolutely stand with you. So thank you so much, Lindsay.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
Appreciate it.
You bet. tonight, this is another Rosa Parks. And there's going to be a lot of people on the left. How dare you? What was Rosa Parks? What was she doing? She just wanted to ride a bus. No big deal. Just ride a bus. I just look, the seats are empty here. If somebody who's white comes in and they want to sit down, I'll even get up. But there's nobody on the bus. I'll sit here. That wasn't good enough. That's so simple. It's the same thing here. This is somebody saying, look, I've got to put food on my table. I've got to put food on my table. And I'll do all of your little, you know, masks things and everything else. I'll do all that. But I'm going to go back to work because I'm going to lose everything I have. And so are all the people that work around me and work with me. So I'm going to do that. That's a right. That is a right. You have a right to feed yourself. You have a right to be able to pursue your happiness.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the intent of the underlying policy is a lot different. But when you talk about the base need here, this is the need to the most basic need you can have. I need to be able to feed
it's
my family.
What made
I need to
America,
have shelter.
America, people came here because they could be free to chart their own course. Anything that stands in the way of doing that is absolutely beyond reason when you're talking about something like the coronavirus. Flatten the curve. We flatten the curve. Open the country back up. And you know what's amazing? If this was Donald Trump doing this, the woman, if she was having feds come in and sicked on her because of Donald Trump, the press would be all over it. But because it's an Oregon governor and because it's a Democrat, oh, no, no, everything is fine. This is obscene. It's a new civil rights movement, and I want you to watch tonight. We have a whole hour of these kind of people who are standing up because something's happening in America. It's a new civil rights movement, and we'll show it to you tonight at 9 o'clock only on Blaze TV. Please join us and become a member. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. Hello, America, and welcome to the program. Let me give you a story on Ukraine that's just breaking now. The infamous story of Joe Biden's effort to force the firing of Ukraine's chief prosecutor in 2016 has taken a new legal twist in Kiev, just as the former vice president is sewing up his presidential nomination in America. In Kiev last month, District Court Judge S.J. Volk ordered the country's law enforcement services to formally list the fire prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, as a victim of an alleged crime by the former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden, according to an official English translation of the ruling obtained by Just the News. The court has previously ordered the Prosecutor General's Office and the State Bureau of Investigation in February to investigate Shokin's claims that he was fired in spring 2016 under pressure from Biden because he was investigating Burisma Holdings. The court ruled that there is now adequate evidence to investigate his claims that Biden pressured the then President Petro Poroshenko, including a threat to withhold $1 billion in loan guarantees. But when the law enforcement agencies opened the probe, they refused to name Biden as the alleged perpetrator of the crime, instead listing the potential defendant as an unnamed American. Volk ruled that anonymous listing was improper and ordered the law enforcement agencies to formally name Joe Biden as the accused perpetrator. This is stunning. Now, there is audio of this, and we bring Jason Batrill back in. He is our chief researcher. He has been on this Ukraine story now with me for, almost a year and a half. And we have the audio. Do you want to set this up, Jason?
Yeah, so I'm not sure which, because there's multiple clips, but I think that this clip that we're about to play here is Joe Biden and Poroshenko right after Joe Biden said, hey, can you get this prosecutor Shokin fired for me? And Poroshenko calls Joe Biden back up and he says this.
But before Vice President Biden comes, I just wanted to try to urge you to see if there's a way
way to get by this problem of replacing the prosecutor general.
This is John Kerry.
Because from our perception, he's blocked the cleanup of the prosecutor general's office. And I know the vice president is very concerned about it. And I think it'd be good to try to have some resolution of that before the vice president comes.
Yesterday, I met with the general prosecutor Shokin.
Yes.
And despite of the fact that we didn't have any corruption charges, we don't have any information about he doing something wrong, I especially asked him, no, it was day before yesterday, I especially asked him to resign position as a state person. And despite of the fact that he has a support in the parliament. And as a finish of my meeting with him, he promised me to give me the statement on resignation. And 1 hour ago, he bring me the written statement of his resignation.
Great.
And this is my second step for keeping my promises.
I agree. Hey, Mr. President, Joe Biden, how are you?
Very well indeed. As usual, when I hear your voice. Thank you.
Well, you are doing very well. Congratulations on getting the new prosecutor general. I know there's a lot more that has to be done, but I think that's good. And I understand you're working with Arad in the coming days on a number of additional laws to secure the IMF. But congratulations on installing the new prosecutor general. It's going to be critical for him to work quickly to repair the damage Shokin did. And I'm a man of my word. And now that the new prosecutor general is in place, we're ready to move forward in signing that new $1 billion loan guarantee.
Jeez. Holy cow. Yeah,
that's definitely
Holy cow. Definitely
both of them. There's no question that's both of their voices. No question.
Oh yeah. And there is Shokin saying we have no evidence of any wrongdoing. There are no charges against him. So when Biden said everybody knew. Well, the president of the country that was friendly to you guys. This is not the current guy. This is the old guy that was friendly to Hillary and Obama and totally corrupt. He even said, there is no evidence on that, but I'm going to do it as a favor to you so I can keep my promises. Holy cow. Is that kind of important?
Little bit.
Yeah.
And to go off of what Stu was just saying, the Washington Post is reporting on this as if it's verified. I've reached out to them to say if anyone off the record has verified the legitimacy. It seems very authentic. We just haven't verified it yet. I just missed a call from one of my sources in Ukraine who I'm going to call back as soon as I get off with you. We're still trying to figure this out. But this sounds like, to me, it sounds like an intercept. Now, if you listen to the entire audio, it's frightening. Because they say you hear the White House operator, you hear there many times are saying, I'm calling from Air Force 2 at the moment. I hope the call doesn't get dropped. It's insane. This appears like
I don't think it is. I really don't. I think this is Ukrainian. I mean, it is not. He's clear that's being recorded on his end, on the President Poroshenko's end. That sounds like a recording from his room.
Yeah, he's got it on
this
speaker.
This is them. This is from Ukraine.
The thing with
You don't think so?
Well, it's very suspect because of the people that released this. His name is Andrei Derkach, and he's a Ukrainian member of parliament. He's very, very pro-Russia. Very, very pro-Russia. His dad was in the KGB. He actually learned at a KGB university himself when he was younger. And now he represents a bloc within Ukraine that's very, very pro-Russian. Now, many people will say, this is important to know, because many people will say, oh, it's just Putin trying to give Trump another leg up. That's total bull. This has nothing to do with U.S. politics. The only thing this has to do is Ukrainian politics and the Western media.
So, So listen, when we talk to, who is that guy that was part of the AG up over there, and then he went to work for the embassy? Remember the Ukrainian guy? What was his name?
Yes, Andrei Telyashenko.
Okay, so Telyashenko said to me, and I thought this was interesting. He said, you know, we thought we had, we were going to have freedom. And you guys are just doing the same thing to us that Russia was doing. And I think this is a Russian leak, but not meant for the United States. Instead, meant for the Ukrainians. Because yes, the Ukrainians will see how corrupt we were and what we were doing. And if we don't clean it up here, any hope that we have that the Ukrainian people would be pro-American and ally with us, which we need, otherwise they go to the Russians. If the Ukrainians say there's no difference between Vladimir Putin and the United States of America, we're toast. We're toast. And that's the message that the Ukrainians are getting. Look at this other, look at this other story. This one comes from let me see if I can get it. The Kyiv Post, okay? Ukraine's global voice. What do you know about the Kyiv Post? Do you anything balanced one way or another?
I've seen them very, very kind of ostrich head in the sand on a lot of this stuff in the past.
Okay. So here's what they just released more of this audio. And the headline is, Ukrainian MP releases Biden-Poroshenko call recordings and spouts absurd conspiracy theory. Now, the recordings that they have, that they are releasing, that we haven't played for you yet, but we will tomorrow, are the conversations that they allege between Biden and George Soros and Poroshenko, and how Soros and Biden were working together with the United States to exert, and listen to this, exerted undue influence over the Ukrainian government under Poroshenko. So what's happening is, this is local politics. This is Ukrainian politics. But they are using our bad things to turn people against us.
Amazing.
And do you think that's something, chance? You think that's a chance?
Absolutely. I mean, we've already exposed a lot of this on when you did Democrats Hydra. I mean, this is just further, you know, this is further evidence.
Verification.
Verification. When we've shown you the documents, so, they're out there.
There is one other story that you need to know. This is coming from the Washington Examiner. Democrats on the Homeland Security Committee are urging their Republican counterparts to please prioritize the coronavirus pandemic over their investigation related to Hunter and Joe Biden and Burisma Holdings in Ukraine.
Oh, my gosh.
Tuesday, in a letter to Senator Ron Johnson, the Wisconsin Republican who heads the committee, Democrats requested an immediate hearing to examine the federal government's response to the pandemic, which has now killed over 90,000 people and affected blah, blah, blah. This pandemic presents an ongoing threat to our national and economic security, and we're continuing to face dire warnings from public health officials. Please. Our committee has a responsibility to ask tough questions on the pandemic response and to get answers for the American people. Unbelievable. The gall of these people to now use the pandemic to say, hey, what are you doing? Wasn't that what we were saying the whole time about Trump? What are you doing? Why are you spending all this money? What, you know, get back to work with the American people. Now that they're being exposed and all of this is being verified, now they're all of a sudden, hey, let's not have hearings. Let's not. Mm-mm. That's bipartisan. Why aren't we just being so bipartisan? Jason, thank you so much. And we'll have a report hopefully from you tomorrow with a little bit more on these recordings. And show you the latest on Barack Obama, George Soros, and Joe Biden. It's not going to end well. It's just not going to end well.